you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
All ministers and officials should now go to Case Orange. Repeat, this is an official colonial government broadcast.
Hello and welcome to the Battlestar Galacticast. My name is Mark Bernardin.
And I am Trisha Helfer.
This is crazy, isn't it? Like, this is a special bonus episode that we're doing, which is a dream long held, never thought to be realized.
I know, we didn't think it was going to happen. And then a couple of out-of-towners came into town and it all just kind of came together at the last minute.
So. Yeah, no, it's full-on bonkers.
It is.
We are about to embark on a live read of 33. With as many Battlestar veterans and friends of the family and just straight up carpetbaggers as we could find.
Should we do, because we're not going to keep everybody quiet. So should we do our thanks and then just get at it?
We can thank people at the end. Let's thank them at the end. Thank them at the end. So let's go around the horn, starting to my left, with who you are and the character you will be playing on this fancy-ass live read of the very first episode of Battlestar Galactica.
Although I do have to say there's going to be no Battlestar Galactica cats in this episode because they're locked away upstairs.
Thank you, Lord.
So I might have to add in a few meows. I'll be sure to stick my tail in somebody's face. All right.
So I'll kick it off on the first one here on the left, and this Edward James Olmos playing the commander. I have not been promoted yet.
Hi, my name is Jamie Bamber, and I am Carrie Norton, and I am playing Dwala and Callie, which is funny because Dwala played Jamie's wife in the show, and I really am his wife.
And in the show, you played Ishe.
And I played Ishe in the show, and there was actually one scene where had to sit there and watch. And Jamie was making eyes at his lover, Kara, whilst he was talking to his wife, Dwala, and then I was actually sat there. It was really weird.
Hi, I am Sandra Hess. I'm Michael Trucco's wife. I did not have the pleasure of being on Battlestar Galactica, but today I get to read President Laura Roslin.
Well, it would stand to reason that I'm here because my wife is here. My name is Michael Hogan. This is Michael Trugo, and I am playing Colonel Ty.
Because Sam isn't in 33 yet.
Sam didn't exist. It's a twinkle in Ron Moore's eye.
That's right.
Very good. Jamie Bamber here playing middle-aged Lee with the benefit of hindsight. I'm looking forward to this.
James Callis playing Dr. Baltar before, obviously, he was President Baltar. Anyway, he's only Dr. Baltar now. Yeah. There it is.
Humble beginnings.
Hi, this is Eddie Sutherson, also known as Bodie Olmos, and I will be reading the roles of Mr. Chief Galen Tyrrell. Is that right?
Yep.
And I will also be reading Gaeta. And I'll also be reading Sauciness.
No, but that
Sauciness.
Always the correct. Always the correct pronunciation.
How you're reading. That's how I'm reading.
Sauciness. Yes, because Hot Dog is not in the show yet.
Yes, Hot Dog was actually in the show, but not
in
this
episode. Yes.
Yes. So I will not be reading Hot Dog.
With sauciness. It's Katie Sackhoff, and I will be reading Kara. Is it Kara or Kara?
It's Kara.
It's Kara.
It's Kara.
It's Kara. It's Kara
in England.
In England. Mm-hmm. Right. So I will be playing Kara, not Kara. Starbuck.
Hi, I'm DB Woodside, and I'm one of the carpetbaggers today. And I'm going to be playing Billy. Crash down, and a man's voice at the very end.
studied for so long to do man's voice.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good little thing. Okay, I am Trisha, the co-host, as you know, and I'm playing sex. Sexy sex.
She's playing sex.
With sauciness.
And a carpet bagger. And I am Rekha Sharma. It's all right. Keep talking about sex. I know it's hard to drop the topic. Anyway, I'm Rekha Sharma, and I'm playing Boomer today.
Yes, because Tori is not in yet either.
Yeah, also just the twinkle in Ron Moore's eyes.
And I am Mark Bernardin. I will be your narrator and scene descriptor, and I'm playing Hilo and Olympic carrier pilot. So, yeah, I guess it's my turn now.
It is your turn. Yes, exciting. I've got little flutters.
Yeah, no pressure. 33, teaser, fade in, interior Baltar's house day. Baltar sits in a chair, gazing out at the water and the morning light from the serene comfort of his living room. A cup of coffee on the side table next to him, classical music playing softly in the background. You might notice that the sky is just a little brighter than it should be, the colors in the house a little more vibrant. In fact, all of his surroundings seem a little too sharp, too crisp to the eye. Number 6 lounges on a chaise nearby, watching him.
God has a plan for you guys. He has a plan for everything and everyone.
Baltar never takes his eyes off the view.
All Vipers hold position.
Exterior space, Vipers, a squadron of Galactica's Vipers are taking up positions in a defensive formation. In the far background, Galactica and the Ragtag fleet can be seen in their own defensive formation. Galactica deployed to cover the civilian ships. Interior Lee's Viper. Lee sits in his cockpit, looking tense and worn.
20 seconds to mark.
He's watching a digital clock, counting down the seconds. 19, 18, 17. We cut to interior Baltar's house day. 6 watches Baltar. Once again, we're struck by the visual keys of Baltar's house. Something about this environment is not quite right, not quite real.
Gaius, are you even listening to me?
Interior Galactica, CIC. Adama is staring at a clock hanging on the bulkhead. The second hand is sweeping up around the hour. Ty, Gaeta, and Duala all at their stations. Everyone's watching clocks, digital and analog, or their stations, or their watches, excuse me. The mood is tense. Duala operates her console by rote, her face a mask of exhaustion.
Sir, jump 237 underway. 53 ships have jumped. 10 still reporting trouble with their FTL drives, including Colonel One.
We're getting slower.
15 seconds.
Ty blinks red-rimmed eyes and tries to focus.
Maybe this time.
Adama never takes his eye from the clock. 10, 9, 8. Interior Baltar's house, day. Baltar now standing at the window, calmly sipping his tea.
You have to believe in something.
I believe in the beauty of a well-constructed formula. The elegance of a complex argument. Rational problems solved through rational means. Not some large invisible man in the sky controlling the flights of birds and the lives of men. A rational universe, explained through rational means.
Exterior space, Colonial One. The transport ship in amid the rest of the civilian ships. Several of the other civilian ships jump away, leaving Colonial One and a few others. Interior, Colonial One office. Laura, sitting in what has now been transformed into a crude oval office. Billy is on the phone, and various aides are in their seats. Like on Galactica, everyone here is exhausted, stressed, and watching a digital clock counting down the seconds. 7, 6, 5...
Cutting it a little close this time, aren't we, Billy?
The pilot says he's had to reboot the FTL computer again.
Laura looks around the cabin at the tense and scared faces. She tries to put on a confident smile for them. Interior Baltar's house, day 6, sidles up to Baltar, slips an arm around his waist, nuzzles his neck.
I love you. That's not rational.
You're not rational. You're also not really here.
Interior Galactica hangar deck. Tyrell and his deck gang are standing by, watching a wall clock as the final seconds tick down. The fatigue and exhaustion are all too evident here as well. Callie is standing next to Tyrell. She's mentally burnt, strung out, right on the edge.
Why is it always 33 minutes? Why isn't it 34? Or 35? Or 55? Or 67? Or 78?
Callie.
Yeah?
It's gonna be all right.
Callie pulls herself back, nods. They resume watching the clock. 4, 3. Interior Baltar's house, day. Baltar is kissing 6's neck, unbuttoning her blouse, losing himself in the eroticism of this woman in his arms. She smiles indulgently. Interior Kara's Viper. Kara is in her Viper, waiting along with the rest of the squadron in space. She slaps her arm, shakes her head, tries to get bodily awake and ready.
How many times is this? Have we passed 200 yet?
Try 237.
237? You're telling me I missed number 200?
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. What, were you planning something special?
Just like to keep track of these things. 200 was such a nice round number. Now I gotta wait for 300.
Oh, don't even joke about that.
Kara looks at her digital watch. 2, 1. Interior Baltar's house day. Baltar has 6 on the chaise and begins to make love to her. She pulls back, looks at him with regret.
Time's up.
Quick cuts. The digital clocks all around the fleet register 0, and the analog second hands all reach the hour mark. Exterior space, hold a beat on the empty starfield, then a Cylon base ship jumps into view. It launches missiles immediately. Close on Baltar, eyes closed, his eyes fly open at the sound of the pilot's voice coming over the PA.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Interior Colonial One office. Baltar is sitting in a chair at the rear of the cabin.
I'm afraid the silence have appeared again. However, our FDL drive is now working and we will jump momentarily.
Baltar rubs his face with his hands. Unlike the way he looked in the house, here Baltar looks like hell, a man right on the edge of his ability to take the stress and pressure and fatigue. Number 6 leans into frame. We begin to realize that she is the one constant in his mind, a phantom that slides easily back and forth between the calm, sedate world of the house he used to live in and the chaotic world of life in the ragtag fleet. CIC, the Dreadus console shows enemy blips and alarms going off around the ship. There's just the slightest pause of resignation as everyone realizes that it's happened again. Ty's exhaustion and disappointment is palpable. Adam is just as tired as everyone else, but his mind is already moving on, and he goes to Ty with an encouraging tone.
Not this time, but maybe the next. I've got an idea for the next cycle.
The CIC becomes a beehive of activity once again. Pilot chatter coming in, officers and enlisted men scurrying about. Ty watches his crew perform their tasks. His temper is short, not tolerant of mistakes in this situation. He quickly spots an error on one of the consoles, taps the display over the shoulder of the unfortunate lieutenant.
Watch the ammo hoist for the main guns. You got a red light right there.
The ship is rocked by an explosion.
Hit on the starboard bow. Can I just be English, please? Dwala's English. Hit on the starboard bow. Away the damage control parties.
Base Star is launching raiders.
Colonial One ready to jump.
Exterior space, Vipers, Lee and the rest of the Vipers kick in their burners and leap forward.
You know the drill, people. Scatter formation, keep them off the civvies, and don't stray beyond the recovery line.
New angle, the Cylon. Cylon fighters are swooping in around the Vipers. Suddenly, some launch nuclear missiles.
Inbound nukes!
Colonial One office, Baltar is trying to hold it together in his chair while Six strokes his hair lovingly.
5 days now. 5 days. There are limits to the human body, the human mind. Tolerances you can't push beyond. Those are facts. Provable facts. There are limits.
Exterior space, Cylons and Vipers. The Vipers and Cylons are blazing away at each other. Some Vipers trying to keep the raiders at bay, others concentrating on the nuclear missiles while Galactica engages the Battlestar. Colonial One and the rest of the fleet jump away, leaving only Galactica and her Vipers to face the Cylons. Interior CIC, as before.
All civilian ships away, including Colonial One.
Recover fighters. Stand by to jump.
Exterior space, Colonial One jumps into view, and the other civilian ships are in the background, which has a planet nearby or some other unique feature to distinguish it from the space they just left. Interior Colonial One office, Baltar blinks for a beat, lets out a long sigh in his house, and Baltar is sitting in his chair, letting out that same long sigh. The transition between the reality of Colonial One and the hyperreal environment of the house is abrupt, but Baltar is unfazed. He's calm here, at ease with himself and the world. Number 6 watches from the chaise. Exterior Space Galactica, the last few Vipers are making combat landings on the Galactica. Interior CIC, Dwala looks up from her console.
All fighters aboard.
Execute jump.
Exterior Space Galactica, the ship jumps, leaving the Cylons to shoot at nothing. Interior CIC, Gaeta looks over his console.
Jump 237 complete.
All civilian ships are present and accounted for, sir.
Start the clock.
Gaeta opens the faceplate of the clock on the wall and spins the minute hand back to 3 minutes before the half hour and picks up a handset.
Attention, clock has started, 33 minutes, mark.
Quick cuts, Lee resets his watch, Kara resets her watch. I'm doing English, I don't care. Tyrell resets the clock on the hangar deck bulkhead. Interior Baltar's house, day. Baltar takes 6 into his arms.
You know you're not safe.
Of course not. The Cylons will follow us again, as they have the last 237 times.
He begins taking her clothes off.
You're right, you know. There are limits. Eventually, you'll make a mistake, and then...
And then you'll kill us all, yes. Yes, I know. But not for another 33 minutes.
As he takes her down onto the bed, camera drops off on a clock, ticking away in the serenity of the house. Fade out, end of teaser. Bum, bum, bum. Act 1, fade in, exterior space, Caprica. The planet is seen from orbit. Thick clouds have engulfed much of the atmosphere. super silent occupied Caprica. Steer a Caprica Forest Day, a man is running through the forest. He's hobbled by an injury as he crashes through the woods. Two silent centurions, the mechanistic types, are crashing through the trees, chasing the man. The man dives, falls over a log or deadfall, and as he rolls over, we see it's Hilo, Sharon Valeri's flight officer. She was forced to leave behind in the pilot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember him.
And
God, I thought he died.
He doesn't look too good. It's cold out here, his breath forming vapor in the air, but Hilo's sweating and having trouble breathing, radiation sickness starting to set in. Hilo blinks as beads of sweat trickle down his forehead and into his eyes, and looks back, the Cylons are charging towards his position. Hilo grabs a detonator remote and double-clicks the trigger. A claymore explodes directly in front of the Cylons, blowing them off their feet. The woods are silent, except for the smoldering, crackling sounds of the destroyed Cylons. Hilo gets up, catches his breath, begins to cautiously limp out into the open. Moments later, he's standing over the Cylons, one completely destroyed and inert, the other still mechanically jerking and whirring, trying to repair its shattered body. Hilo looks down at the Cylon for a beat, then resets his hand weapon and aims at the Cylon's head. Pulls the trigger. Explosion. Cut to a clock. The minute hand now at quarter to the hour. Reveal the clock hanging in the wall of Interior Galactica officer's head. Pilots are scurrying in and out of the washroom, some throwing water on their faces, others making a quick dash in and out of the toilet stalls, everyone looking frayed and burnt out. Kara Thrace has her head completely under a faucet, drowning her hair and her face in the water, her flight suit peeled down to her waist. Lee Adama steps in through the hatch, still in his flight suit.
2 minutes to pre-launch brief, people. 2 minutes.
The pilots pick up the pace, start zipping flight suits, and stumbling out the door. Lee takes a spot in the sink near Kara, pulls a toothbrush from his zippered pocket and wets it, begins to savagely brush his teeth. More rote than hygiene. Kara begins roughly toweling off, pulls up her flight suit.
I'd like a transfer, sir.
All transfers in writing, please.
Kara heads for the hatch.
I'll go find a pen.
Interior Adama's quarters / corridor. Adama's in the head, shaving and talking to Ty, who's scribbling notes on a piece of paper and scarfing down a few bites of Adama's untouched food in between sentences.
Divide the fleet into six groups. They jump six different coordinates.
Adama cuts himself with a razor. Blood trickles down his throat for a moment.
Right?
Adama looks on the blood on his cheek for a moment, sleep deprivation and fatigue causing him to lose focus for a moment.
Then jump two more times. Fourth jump, everyone rendezvous back at a common set of coordinates.
24 jumps to plot. We're breaking our humps, calculating one jump every 33 minutes.
Adama grabs his jacket, comes out of the head, sees Ty eating his food.
You eating this?
Not anymore.
Adama heads for the door, Ty right with him. They exit to the corridor.
Damn civilian crews. Half of them don't begin jump prep until 5 minutes before the mark.
Take us 10 minutes to calculate jump coordinates. Another 5 to program the computers. 3 to run the checklists. 4 to balance the fuel mixture.
Adama glances at his watch. Close on wristwatch, ticking away, reveal, interior corridor, comm office. The watch is on the wrist of Duala, and she's standing in a long line of deckhands who are waiting outside the tiny off-ship communications office. The corridor itself is filled with boxes, mislaid items, stray pieces of paper. No one's had a chance or energy to police the spaces in days. Cecinus and a couple of deckhands man the comm office. Now crammed with sheets of paper, photos, and lists, the deckhands are working the phones inside the office while the petty officer mans the door. The man ahead of Duala leaves, and now she's at the head of the line. She hands Cecinus a piece of paper with names and descriptions scrawled in neat lines. He quickly goes over the list.
Colony?
Sagittarion. How many have...
5,251 survivors from Sagittarion. Last count.
Duala brings out a stack of snapshots, faces of her family and friends.
We can't transmit photos yet, so you can either leave them with us or put them on the board.
Duala eyes the stacks and piles of photos and lists, filling the office, and decides to keep them. Interior pilots ready room. Lee at the CAG podium finishing the pre-launch brief to his pilots, including Kara and Sharon Valeri.
Combat landings expected again to be the order of the day, so double-check your undercarriage before launch. Questions?
No one says a word. The fatigue in the room is palpable.
All right, then good luck and be careful out there.
Kara reacts to that last line. Be careful out there? The pilots gather up their plotting boards and head for the hatch. As they pass out the door, each of them touches a photo taped to the wall. Close on the photo, which reveals a colonial soldier with his back to the camera, standing on a rooftop, looking out over a city. Dark clouds of smoke rise up from the city. A colonial flag ripples in the breeze above his head. Each pilot's hand comes into frame and touches the image as they go out the door and to war. Interior corridor memorial wall. A long impromptu memorial board now covers the walls of a section of corridor. It's plastered with photos, descriptions of loved ones, small drawings, tributes, etc. Galactica crew members are gathered here, putting up photos, touching the faces of missed loved ones, praying, or just staring at the faces. It's the sheer number of the faces that hits Dualla in the chest. It takes her a beat before she gathers herself and moves to find a spot to put her own photos among the many.
Boomer?
Interior Raptor, hangar deck. Sharon is going over her pre-flight checklist in the pilot seat of her Raptor. Crashdown, her new flight officer, is in the back area.
Heard the latest? Cylons look like us now. Primary fuel?
Primary fuel. 8932 KRG.
Terrell steps into the cabin.
Marine told one of the spooks in crypto we marooned a PR guy back on Ragnar because the XO thought he was a Cylon.
You know what? I don't give a frack. Red light on the number 4 thruster. Go make a visual ID, see if it's blocked.
Right.
Crashdown exits the cabin. Sharon keeps working as Tua leans over her shoulder, pretends to be interested in something on the control panel.
A little rough on their ECO, if you ask me.
He's not my ECO. He's some refugee from the Triton I've been saddled with, and I didn't ask you.
Halo's gone, Sharon.
I didn't ask you that either.
Tyrell heads for the door. Just before he leaves...
Sorry.
Tyrell appreciates it, but knows it's time to leave anyway. Sharon struggles to focus on her job. Interior Colonial One office, Laura's at her desk, which has become the center of gravity in the makeshift awful office. Billy goes to her with a stack of message slips and a package. Several other aides are also in the cabin, and there's a continuous flow of people in and out. This is a busy workplace.
Update on the headcount, Madam President.
Laura takes it, reacts in disappointment.
How'd we drop 300?
Some overcounts, some deaths from wounds, a few missing during the last attack.
Laura goes to a small piece of board that's been roughly mounted on one bulkhead. The board has a number on it, 50,298. She rubs off the last few digits and corrects it with a grease pencil to 49,978. She looks at the number for a long beat, then tries to refocus on something else.
What's in the package?
It's a gift from the captain of one of the ships. There's a note.
Laura unwraps the package while Billy reads the note.
President Roslin, please accept this on behalf of the people of Aralon. It was taken on the capital of our colony during the attack.
Inside the package, Laura finds a framed copy of the same photo we saw in the pilot's ready room earlier. Below the photo is a small inscription, "Lest we forget." Laura stares at the photo of the anonymous soldier, the smoke and the flag, and silence falls on the cabin. Find Baltar and number 6 in their own seats. 6 runs a finger over his earlobe.
Do you want children, Gaius?
Interior Baltar's house day. Baltar smokes a thin cigar, 6 at his side.
Let me think about that. No.
Procreation is one of God's commandments.
Well, maybe someday he'll bless you with a lovely little walking toaster of your very own.
I want us to have a child, Gaius.
You can't be serious. What was that?
Interior Colonial One office. Baltar sits forward in his chair. No sign of 6.
I'm sorry. Excuse me for interrupting. What did you just say?
Oh, I was just telling the president that a doctor, Amarak, has requested to speak to her.
Baltar's heart skips a beat at the name.
Dr. Amarak. I see.
You know him?
6 appears again next to Baltar.
Have you always been able to multitask like this?
He worked with me at the Ministry of Defense.
Says he has uncovered important information regarding how the Cylons were able to defeat colonial defenses.
I was always a little worried he was on to us.
Perhaps I should talk to him.
I think he only wants to speak directly with the president. Sounded urgent.
It must be very, very important. Maybe something about a certain traitor in the president's inner circle?
All right. Not enough time before the next jump. Get him aboard during the next cycle.
6 leans into Baltar.
I'd say you have a serious problem.
Of Baltar's worried expression, end of Act 1. Act 2, fade in, interior corridors. Ty and Dualla are walking with Adama as he makes his way towards his quarters. Dualla is handing Adama papers to sign on a clipboard, which she then takes from him as he signs.
Deck log.
Gata's working on your multi-jump idea. He's worried we don't have enough cartographic information.
Fuel report.
Keeps talking about jumping into the middle of a star.
DC.
Worries me too. 12 more cases of nervous exhaustion. That makes 61 total. 10 suicides. Have the docs start pumping them all with stimulants and sending them back on the line. Pilots too. Rotating injections. One pilot out of every 3, every other cycle.
That's going to come back and bite us on the ass.
Munitions.
We've got too much work and not enough people to do it.
Fuel report.
I've had to sign One of these, D.
Yes, sir. Sorry, sir. Comm traffic, two from the president.
They've arrived outside Adama's quarters. He glances at his watch.
This is my 10 minutes or yours?
Yours. I took 10 last time.
See you two in combat.
Adama turns down one corridor and Ty and Dwala head down another corridor.
I believe this was your turn, sir.
If the old man's so tired he can't remember, then it's his turn.
Interior hangar deck. Kara's doing pre-flight walk-around of her Viper, looking up under the undercarriage, checking inside the turbines, etc., while Lee looks on. They're both mentally and physically fried, barely able to think beyond what's right in front of them.
You see the note from the XO?
I saw it. No way.
Kara.
I don't fly with stims. They blunt your reflexes, reaction time.
Come on, Kara, give me a break here. Just get the shot, all right?
Why are we arguing about this?
I have no idea.
Neither do I. You're the CAG. Act like one.
What the hell does that mean?
It means you're still acting like you're everyone's best friend. No, we're not friends. You're the CAG. Be careful out there. No, our job isn't to be careful. It's to shoot Cylons out of the fracking sky. Good hunting is what you say to us. And now one of your idiot pilots is acting like a child and refusing to get her shot. So she either says, yes, sir, and obeys an order, or you smack her in the mouth, drag her ass, sorry ass down to sickbay and get her and get the fracking pills.
Lee just stares at her for a minute, and then he feels a slight grin form on his face.
I am really glad I'm not working for you.
Yeah, damn right you're glad.
So do I have to smack you in the mouth, Lieutenant?
No, sir. I'll go get my pills, sir.
Lee holds out his hand.
That was Bear McCreary's musical interlude.
The flugelhorn was perfect there. Lee holds out his hand. The pills are in it. She gives him a look, then dry swallows them.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Carry on.
Lee heads out of the hangar. Interior Adama's quarters. Adama's asleep in his rack. And then the sound-powered phone whistles. He picks it up by long-honed instinct.
Adama.
Sorry to disturb you, sir. I've got the president for you.
Put it through.
There's a few beats of electronic clicking, and Adama nearly falls asleep in those few seconds before.
Commander? Commander Adama?
Yes, Madame President.
The phone has been jerry-rigged on Colonial One near one of the windows, and Laura's on the phone, while Billy and several others look on.
You get my message?
Adama still has them in his hand.
I'm a little behind.
We have a problem. One vessel.
She can't remember and snaps her fingers quickly.
The Taurinian Traveler?
The Taurinian Traveler is saying they want to break away from the fleet and make a run for it on their own.
Okay.
Okay? Without your protection, they won't have a chance.
If any captain out there thinks his ship can do better on its own, I'm not going to stand in his way.
Laura's eyes go to the grease pencil number on the bulkhead, 49,317. The soldier photo is now hanging on the bulkhead directly above that number.
I'm concerned about our numbers.
Numbers?
There's 900 people on that ship. Survival of the race mandates increasing your numbers. That takes priority over anyone's wish to go to their own way.
Let's get to the chase here. You want me to board that ship and take over?
Yes, I do.
Boarding parties are armed. You understand? If there's resistance, my people will be forced to defend themselves. I think this is a bad time to start shooting civilians.
Laura is stung by his tone and the statement itself, but she bites back a tart response.
Thank you, Commander. I'll be in touch.
One more thing. You should consider transferring to Galactica. Your ship's FTL is unreliable and...
Thank you, but I'm staying here.
Laura hangs up. Adama slams the phone back in its cradle, lies down. A beat, then he grabs the phone, resets the dial, and rings CIC.
Combat?
Launch the alert fighters. Tell them to make 3 close passes by the Taurinian Traveler.
3 close passes by Taurinian Traveler. Aye, sir. Any messages to her captain?
He'll get the message. Thank you, Lieutenant.
Cut to exterior Caprica, Forest Day. Hilo grimaces as he inserts a syringe needle into a vein and pushes the plunger. He finishes the dose and checks the label on the syringe box. Amid the small printing and instructions, we can read the heading, anti-radiation dosage. He puts the syringe back in the box, slips it into one of his flight suit pockets. Hilo looks up. Hilo's POV, long shot, number 6. Far in the distance, number 6 is standing in the trees. Hilo freezes. He doesn't recognize her, of course, nor does he have any idea that the Cylons now look like human beings. All he knows is that there's someone standing out there in the woods, and if they haven't seen him yet, they definitely will if he makes a sudden move. His hand slowly, slowly begins to reach for his hand weapon, just in case. Hilo suddenly becomes aware of something else. He doesn't turn his head, but we see a Cylon Centurion standing right behind Hilo, its weapons at the ready. They have him. End of Act 2. And with that, we're going to take a quick break, but we will be right back after this message from our sponsors, of which we may or may not have.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And we're back. Doing a rambunctious live read of 33. Beginning with Act 3, Interior CIC. Adama, Tai, Duala, Gaeta at their positions.
Jump 239 complete.
Gaeta resets the clock.
All civilian ships present and... strike my last. One civilian ship missing and unaccounted for.
Which one?
Olympic carrier. Commercial passenger vessel.
Were they left behind?
I think I accounted for all civilian ships before we jumped.
You think? Did you or didn't you?
They're not logged in. They might have been left behind, sir.
How many people?
1,345 souls, sir.
You're telling me we left over 1,300 people to die at the hands of the Cylons?
It may not be our fault, sir. They may have simply made a navigational error and jumped to the wrong coordinates, or the Cylons could have destroyed them before anyone jumped, or...
Or 50 other things that may have happened. The point is, we don't know what the hell did happen.
The last words are loud enough to bring action in the CIC to a grinding halt. Everyone freezes as Ty looks around.
Yes, we're tired. Yes, there's no relief. Yes, the Cylons keep coming at us time after time after time. And yes, we are still expected to do our jobs.
The silence in CIC is deafening. Dama watches the faces of his people, gauging the reaction, letting Ty's reprimand sink in. Then he steps forward and lets his calmer voice take over.
We make mistakes, people die. And there aren't many people left. Carry on.
Interior Colonial One office. Laura watches Billy update the board. 47,972. She stares at the number, tries not to let it get to her, but the burden is there nonetheless. Reveal Baltar sitting nearby. Finally, Laura's ready to move on.
Okay, next crisis.
You want to go over your list of calls?
Yes, but first, why isn't that doctor on board yet?
Dr. Amorak. Oh. He was on the Olympic carrier.
Interior Baltar's house day. Baltar sits up in his chair, puzzled and disturbed. Number six walks by him.
God is watching over you, Gaius.
Baltar is thrown, rattled by the strange coincidence.
The universe is a vast and complex system. Coincidental and serendipitous events are bound to occur. Indeed, they are to be expected.
Dr. Amorak posed a threat to you. Now he's gone. Logic says there's a connection.
A connection, maybe. But not God. There is no god or gods, singular or plural. No invisible men or women taking a personal interest in the fortunes of Gaius Baltar.
Be careful. That which God gives, he can also take away.
Baltar reaches out a hand, grabs the hem of her outfit.
Look, we've got another half an hour. Should we just...
Not this time, Gaius. Aww. This time's going to be different.
Exterior space the fleet, including Galactic Colonial One. The ships are in formation and barely moving. Vipers hanging in space, waiting for the Cylons to reappear. On the hangar deck, Tyrell and his deckhands are watching the clock. Colonial One, Laura and her aides, Billy and Baltar, Baltar, waiting in the background. Tyrell CSC, everyone watching the clock as the second hand sweeps toward the hour mark. 5, 4.
Maybe this time.
3, 2, 1, 0. And nothing happens. A long, quiet beat passes. People exchange looks.
Traitors.
No enemy contacts.
Adama watches the clock as the hand keeps sweeping around.
What do you think?
I think we wait.
Interior CIC later, the clock now shows that 45 minutes have passed. Adama is pacing, thinking.
Get me the president.
Interior Colonial One office. Moments later, Laura's on the phone with Adama.
Why this time? something you did?
No. We've been working on a new plan, but didn't have time to implement it yet.
We lost a ship last jump, the Olympic Carrier. Could that have something to do with it?
Possibly.
A long beat on both ends of the phone as each of them tries to think straight, but fatigue is making them feel like they're both wading through rivers of mud.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I can't believe this is really over.
No. Can't let our guard down yet.
So what do we do? I've got people on the verge of collapse over here.
Adama glances around the strained, exhausted fates in the CIC.
I know what you mean. We'll go to condition two.
He catches Ty's eye as he says it, and Ty nods agreement.
Each ship keeps the first watch on alert. Other watches go below, get some rest. 2 hours later, second watch is relieved, first watch, and so on. Every ship has to be prepared to jump immediately if the Cylons do show up. But we take advantage of the time and let people get some rest.
Okay. And how long do we stay at condition two?
Until I'm satisfied they're not coming. It's a military decision.
I know. You're right. It is, and I defer to your judgment. And please thank your people for me. Let them know how much I appreciate everything they're doing.
Adama's caught a little off stride.
I will. Thank you, Madam President.
They both hang up, but Adama nods at Ty, who grabs the handset.
Attention, set condition
Contact
two
Apollo.
Throughout
Tell
the
him
ship.
To set a combat
First
patrol
watch remains at action stations.
Fleet and
Division
other
officers dismiss
to land.
Other personnel below.
Exterior space, Vipers and Raptor, Lee Adama's fighters in the foreground, the rest of his squadron in the background.
All right, people.
He's in the cockpit.
You heard the order. Starbuck, Boomer, form up with me. We'll fly the first cap. I want everyone else back on Galactica and in their racks. 3 hour rotation. Winger, T-Bone, and Wedge, you'll be second team. Formal debriefs are TBD, and I'll post the rest of the cap schedule when I get back.
That's it. Then Lee looks out on the fighters and Raptors of his squadron, knows there are weary pilots in all of them.
I don't want to make a speech here or something, but the past 5 days, you've all done a hell of a job, and I'm proud of you. Apollo out.
Exterior space, Vipers and Raptors. All the Vipers and Raptors break away and head back towards the Galactica, except for Apollo, Starbuck, and Boomer, which form up together as a three-ship unit. Roger that, Apollo. Going home. Last one aboard cleans the ready room. Thank you, Apollo, et cetera.
Good job.
I'm an actor.
You needed a sip after that.
Mm. Stiff belt.
He's very proud of himself.
So proud. Interior Kara's Viper. Kara pilots her Viper over towards Lee.
Not that I'm not honored by being chosen to sit in this cockpit for the next 3 hours, but...
Why you?
Mm.
Take a guess.
Because I'm on drugs?
You got it. This patrol is 100% stimulated.
Anyone else feel like they've got fracking ants crawling behind their eyeballs?
About you, Boomer. Doc tells me you're holding up better than anyone in the squadron.
Interior Sharon's Raptor, Sharon Crashdowner, sitting side by side.
I'm tired like everyone else.
Never seem it.
That's because she's a Cylon. Dun, dun, dun!
That's a good one.
Foreshadowing.
You're just going to make me come over there and kick your ass, aren't you?
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's set up a patrol before someone gets hurt. Follow me.
Exterior space, Vipers and Raptor, the three ships begin to fly around the ships of the fleet together. Interior Colonial One office, Laura is struggling not to fall asleep with Billy at the desk. They're the only ones still awake.
Fuel relocation orders. The refinery ship will have to work overtime.
It's been almost 3 hours. May I suggest...
Sleep, I know. I must look like hell.
Yes, ma'am.
Forget it. So, who's first on my list when I wake up?
I've scheduled a medical appointment with a doctor from Caprica. He doesn't know about the cancer.
Laura glances around the cabin. Everyone else is asleep.
Cancel the appointment.
Madam President.
Cancel the appointment, Billy.
Yes, ma'am.
Laura looks at him, lets the anger ebb from her voice.
I appreciate the thought, but we have to be very, very careful about this. About who knows and when they know.
Yes, ma'am.
Laura nods and heads into the back. Interior CIC, Ty checks his watch as he comes over to Adama.
Almost ready to call the second watch.
You go below with the first watch. Get some rec time.
Yes, sir. Three solids in the rack does sound awfully sweet right now. But truth is, this whole damn thing has me feeling, more alive than I have in years.
Good to see it. Especially without that cup in your hand. But I do think some people on this ship would like you to feel a little less alive these days.
Ah, if the crew doesn't hate the XO, then he's not doing his job. Besides, gotta make the old man look good.
I always look good. Seriously. One thing to push a crew, another to break them.
Suddenly there's an alarm from the Dreadus console.
Dreadus contact. One ship, bearing 398, Karam 120. Getting a recognition signal. It's the Olympic carrier.
Thank the gods.
Relief floods to the CIC, except Adama isn't relieved. He stares at the blip on the Dreadus console for a long beat.
Action stations. Send the fleet to condition one.
Everyone scrambles as the ship goes to action stations.
I want all Vipers banned and ready. Keep them in the tubes for now. Mr. Gata, restart the clock. 33 minutes.
Ty suddenly realizes what Adama is thinking.
Oh, hope you're wrong.
So do I.
Close on the clock, ticking away. Fade out. End of act three. Ba-ba-bum. Act four. Fade in, interior Baltar's house. Baltar is pacing, agitated. No refuge from the pressure for him, even in this refuge in his mind.
How can this be? If they were left behind, why didn't the Cylons destroy them? And why are they showing up now?
It's God's punishment for your lack of faith.
A more logical and useful explanation, please.
All right. The Olympic carrier has been infiltrated by Cylon agents. They've been tracking the ship all along.
Baltar reacts in surprise, but it makes sense.
Then that means...
Logically, in order for you to survive, the Olympic carrier should be destroyed.
Exterior space, Olympic carrier and Vipers. Apollo and Starbuck's Vipers head toward the Olympic carrier, a large transport ship distinct from Colonial One. Boomer's Raptor follows the Vipers in a discreet distance.
Olympic carrier. Olympic carrier. This is Raptor 478, call sign Boomer. I have you in visual contact. Please acknowledge on this channel. Over.
Interior Raptor. Sharon and Crashdown watching the approaching transport.
Raptor 478, this is Olympic carrier. We have you in visual contact.
Interior CIC. The ship is at condition one. Every post manned and ready. Everyone is listening to the distant wireless transmissions.
Thank the lords of Kabul. You don't know how relieved we are to see you.
Roger that, Olympic carrier. Can you explain your whereabouts?
We had some trouble with our FTL drive. Took us almost 3 hours to fix.
Have Boomer ask them how they escaped from the Cylons.
Interior Colonial One office. Everyone's listening to the wireless transmissions on the speakerphone.
Olympic carrier, Boomer, I have been directed to ask you how you escaped from the Cylons.
You got me. They were closing in on us when the rest of you were jumping. I thought we were goners. Then they just... broke off, left us alone. Someone must have been watching out for us.
Roger that.
One other thing, Boomer. I've got a Dr. Amarak on board who claims he has an urgent matter to discuss with the president. He's been driving me crazy.
Baltar's blood pressure goes through the roof. He quickly moves to Laura, even as the radio conversation continues.
Madam President, we have to cut off all communication
Olympic
with that ship.
Olympic carrier, like, can you be more specific?
Right now?
What? Why?
The Cylons. The Cylons let them survive, don't you see? They've been tracking that ship all along. There's probably a Cylon agent among them right now. Madam President, I strongly recommend cutting off all the wireless communication immediately. They might attempt to use a broadcast signal to insert another virus into our computer systems.
Laura looks at him, and there's a difficult moment here where Laura has to decide whether or not to trust Baltar.
Trust me.
She gauges his reaction and correctly reads his desperation and concern. And doesn't realize the motivation for his genuine worry is actually self-preservation.
Commander Adama, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. And I'm inclined to agree with Dr. Baltar.
Yes. Good. So am I.
Thank the gods you're with us.
God has nothing to do with it.
Interior Sharon's Raptor. Sharon and Crashdown at their positions.
Boomer, Galactica, you are ordered to jam Olympic Carrier's transmissions. No further voice contact with Olympic Carrier is authorized.
Roger that, Galactica.
She looks down to Crashdown, who gets to work.
Boomer, Galactica, you are ordered to send Olympic Carrier the following message by signal light. Message begins. Maintain present position. Do not, repeat, do not approach fleet until further notice. Message ends.
Crashdown moves to a console, begins tapping a button. Exterior space, Raptor, a signal light, begins flashing a message to the transport. Interior Colonial One office, Laura is grim as she talks to Adama on the speakerphone.
I'm afraid I have to agree with Dr. Baltar's analysis.
So do I. Ship is a threat to us, and we have to eliminate that threat.
Exterior space, Vipers, Raptor, and Olympic carrier. The Olympic carrier is continuing to head towards the fleet, even as the Raptor flashes signals to it. Interior Kara's Viper. Kara's watching the transport with concern.
They're not getting the message, Apollo.
I see it.
Boomer, break Wyler's silence on my authority. Warn them to stop their engines immediately.
Olympic Carrier. Olympic Carrier. You are ordered to stop your engines immediately. Acknowledge.
Interior CIC and Colonial One, Adama and Laura are still on the phone.
I suggest we evacuate the passengers and destroy the ship.
Solves the problem if they're tracking the ship. What if they're tracking one of the passengers?
Then we'll deal with that on the next cycle. Right now, we have to get many people as possible off that ship.
Exterior space, Vipers, Raptor, and Olympic Carrier. The two Vipers are weaving and wagging their wings in front of the Olympic Carrier, trying to get them to stop.
Olympic Carrier, you are ordered to stop your engines. Acknowledge!
Lee's in the cockpit.
Starbuck, fire burst across their bow. Boomer, let Galactica know we've got a problem out here.
Interior CIC Colonial One, resume as before.
All right, but we should quarantine the passengers. If there's a Cylon agent among them, we need to isolate them and...
In the CIC, Duala looks up from a console and gets Adama's attention.
Commander, message from Boomer. Olympic Carrier is continuing on course directly for us, refusing all orders to stop.
Exterior space, Kara's Viper fires a volley across the bows of the Olympic Carrier, which shows no sign of slowing or altering course.
Olympic Carrier, if you do not alter course, we will be forced to disable your engines.
In CIC?
Order the fleet to execute jump 240. Bring us up. Put us between the ship and the fleet.
Commander. Adama turns, sees Geta looking up. He follows Geta's eyes to the clock is reaching the hour mark. The second it does, there's an alarm on the Dreadus Council.
Dreadus contact. Strike that. Multiple contacts. It's the Cylons.
Exterior.
Da-da-dun.
Zoom, 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 zoom. Exterior space, the Cylons, two base stars, and hundreds of fighters are careening towards us. Lee's Viper swoops in to close to the... Lee's Viper swoops in close to the Olympic Carrier.
The Cylons are on an intercept course. They'll be in weapons range in less than 2 minutes.
Lee looks around for the unseen Cylons, then looks out his canopy. Lee's POV, the faces of the civilian passengers are pressed against the windows, looking right at him.
Cut from the actual episode.
Yes, cut.
Too controversial.
Ah.
Too badass.
We broke a baby.
Yeah.
It's about magnitude, really. Like, one innocent baby is one thing. An alarm goes off in his cockpit. Interior Sharon's Raptor, the same alarm goes off in her cockpit. Interior CIC, that same alarm goes off in here. Duala reacts in shock.
Radiological alarm.
From where?
The Olympic Carrier. They've got nukes on board.
Get me the president.
Interior Colonial One, seconds later, Laura's on the phone.
They have over 1,300 innocent people on board.
No choice now. Them or us.
Baltar and Six in their own private world nearby. Baltar is freaking out.
She has to do it. She has to. They'll be here any minute.
It's not her decision, Gaius. It's God's choice. He wants you to repent. Repent of your sins and accept his true love, and you will be saved.
Self-defense is one thing, but this? It's murder.
Killing is killing, Madam President. The labels only matter to the living. The dead are just dead.
Laura still hesitates. Baltar can barely breathe.
I repent.
Laura takes a beat, makes her choice.
Do it.
She hangs up the phone and Adama hangs up on his end. We register the weight of the decision on their faces. Cut to exterior of space, Vipers, Raptor, and the Olympic Carrier. The Vipers are shadowing the transport as it careens towards the Galactica and the other civilian ships.
We have new orders. We're directed to destroy the Olympic Carrier and then return to Galactica.
It's a civilian ship.
Lee looks at those faces in the transport window, oblivious to their fate. He makes a decision.
Yeah, those faces were also cut in the final episode. Cylons will be here any second. If we're going to do it, let's do it. Starbuck, form up with me. We'll make one pass from astern.
Exterior space, the Vipers peel away together and sweep toward the rear of the transport. Interior, Lee's Viper, as he lines up the transport ship in front of the nose of his Viper.
Fire on my mark.
Interior Kara's Viper, she lines up the transport. Interior Raptor, Sharon watches the tragedy unfolding before her. Interior CIC, everyone watching the Vipers approaching the transport ship on the Dreadus display. In Lee's Viper, Lee can see the defenseless ship looming larger in his gun sight. Lee bears down and does what must be done.
Mark.
Quick cuts, Kara's face, Sharon's face, Lee's finger, finally pulling the trigger. Kara's finger, pulling the trigger. Exterior space, Vipers in the Olympic Carrier. The Vipers fires the transport ship and it's destroyed. The reality of what they've just done weighs on the faces of Lee, Kara, and Sharon for a long beat. Interior Colonial One office, Baltar is looking out the window, the light from the off-camera explosion dying down on his face. Interior Lee's Viper, Lee is still stunned.
Cylons are getting close, Apollo.
Roger that. Let's go home.
Exterior, space, Vipers and Raptor. The Vipers swing around and the Raptor joins up with them as they head for the distant Galactica. Fade out. Fade in. Exterior, space, the fleet, cruising safely in space. Interior Colonial One office, Laura's sitting at her desk, staring at the board. 47,972. Billy is sitting across from her with a stack of messages. He waits a long beat, then...
Madam President?
Takes Laura a moment to break away from her thoughts.
I'm sorry. What were you saying?
Nothing that can't wait.
Laura nods absently, looks back at the number.
2 days, no Cylons. At least you know it was the right choice.
Yes, the right choice. I'd like some time alone, please.
Yes, Madam President.
Stay with Laura as Billy heads for the door. There's a long beat before she realizes that Billy hasn't left. He's standing at the threshold of the doorway, a message slip in his hand.
What is it?
The head count.
Subtract how many?
You can add one. Baby was born on the rising star. A boy.
Billy exits. Laura then reaches out, wipes off the last digit, changes it to a 3. It's a small thing, but somehow it matters. Interior Baltar's house, day. Baltar in bed with 6. He rolls off of her.
Yeah. Phew, that was just what I needed.
Sex is a celebration of God's love.
Yes. Yes, I can see that now.
She smiles at him and gives him a kiss. He rolls back on the pillows, and from the look on his face, we can see he's no more serious about this latest pledge of spiritual fealty than anything else. Interior pilot's ready room. The ready room is empty except for Lee, who is updating the pilot status aboard with a grease pencil when Adama enters.
Sir?
Captain.
Adama stands next to him, looks over the board. Lee is clearly troubled, has trouble making eye contact.
It had to be done.
Greater good. Survival of the race, yeah, I know. I'll have a full report for you this afternoon.
Lee keeps working, and Adama doesn't know how to reach out to his son in the moment.
I gave the order, son. It's my responsibility.
I pulled the trigger. That's mine.
Lee goes back to work, and finally Adama exits. Cut to exterior Caprica, forest day. Hilo is lying on the ground, his hands and feet bound behind his back, his head covered with a canvas bag. A woman's hand reaches into frame and touches him. He starts, tenses. She reaches up and gently pulls the bag off his head. Hilo gasps for air in the chilly forest and sees number 6 looking down at him with curious eyes.
Are you alive?
Hilo blinks, isn't sure he heard her right.
Are you alive?
At something of a loss, Hilo falls back on his training. Agathon, Carl C., Lieutenant, Junior Grade, Colonial Fleet, PK 789-9348.
I know who you are, Hilo. It's all right. I'm a friend.
She leans down, snaps his restraints quickly and easily. He tries to jump up, but his legs fail him, and he goes down.
Your legs are asleep.
Hilo rubs his legs as she stands over him.
Are you alive?
Yes.
Prove it.
She reaches down, tips his head up toward her, leans in to kiss him. Explosion! Number 6 collapses on the ground, a bloody wound in the middle of her back. Hilo looks up in shock to see Sharon Valeri standing in the forest, the weapon still smoking in her hand. Sharon?
Can you walk?
Yeah, I think so. What are you doing here? I thought...
Not now. It's not safe here. Let's move, mister.
Her weapon at the ready, her head constantly looking for threats in any direction, Sharon leads Hilo into the forest. New angle. While one version of number 6 lies on the forest floor, another number 6 and a silent centurion calmly watch Hilo and Sharon run off into the forest. Fade out. End of episode! Yay! And fair!
So I get to sing the end credits now.
Yeah. I mean, clearly.
Yeah.
This episode of the Battlestar Galacticast has been brought to you by the good folks at Sci-Fi Wire. We would like to thank the dude who just walked in.
We always
Bear
thank
McCreary,
you, but we can thank you in person.
Oh my gosh.
For this amazing theme song he gave us. I want to thank everybody around this table for giving time on a Saturday night to come and make a dumb dream from a dumb kid come true. So thank you, everybody.
And thank you, Brett.
Thanks, Brett and Amy Brett. On the one
doing
and twos.
Ones and twos.
And we will see you guys next week when we talk about some episode I don't remember. Thank you, Tricia.
Thank you, Mark.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.